This podcast is sponsored by IAPath, unlocking your adjusting superpowers. Go to iapath.com.
This is Profiles in Risk. Hosted by Nick Lamparelli. Every week, we interview those who risk life, limb, fortunes, career, and reputation, and those who work behind the scenes who look to protect and enlighten us about risk. You can find the show notes and other insurance-related content at insnerds.com. That's insnerds.com. Now, on to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Profiles in Risk. I'm your host, Nick Lamparelli. Today, I am pleased to introduce Ashley Fitzsimmons. Ashley is a licensed agent for the Fitzsimmons Insurance Agency in Forest City, Pennsylvania, and is on the board of directors at the IANB, the Insurance Agents and Brokers. And she is best known, I think, for being the Beyoncé of insurance. Ashley, welcome to Profiles in Risk.
Thanks so much, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to take your Saturday morning. That was very nice of you to squeeze me in, but we both have our Dunkin' Donuts, so I think we have our ammunition to plow through for the next 30 or 40 or an hour or 2 hours or however much we want to talk, but I appreciate you giving me the time.
Absolutely. Excited to be here.
So looking at your profile, and I'm going to get into a lot of different things that I feel like you do positively well in marketing yourself and doing what it is that you do, but I see that insurance is in your family. You know, you work for an agency with your name on the door, and it looks like a family business. So were you destined to be in insurance?
Honestly, I believe that I was destined to be in insurance. However, I had zero interest in ever going into the family business. And everybody finds that kind of funny because I love insurance so much now. But had you asked me back in college, 4 months before I was graduating, if I ever intended to go in insurance, my answer would have been absolutely not. I have no interest in it. I want to get away from this area. I want to go and, you know, do my own thing, make my own path. And it just so happened that here, I always joke that I got roped into insurance, but I ended up loving it. I'm so glad that the opportunity presented itself and everything kind of just, the stars all aligned, and I got pulled into insurance. And I'm so glad I did for just a list of reasons.
Can I ask, when did you sense that there was a change in your attitude towards insurance?
I've always loved it. That's a good question, because the first year, my dad and my uncle sat down with me the day that we were kind of talking about the potential of me coming into the agency. And they said to me, "You're going to hate it the first year." And they didn't do that to set me up for failure right off the bat. They wanted to be honest and frank with me in saying that I'm not going to like it because there's going to be a lot that I don't understand. I'm not going to be able to answer questions immediately when people call in, and I'm going to get frustrated. And that was the best thing that they could have ever done for me, because I am an incredibly competitive personality. And as soon as they said that, it made me want to go and make sure that I liked my first year. And it made me want to learn faster, learn as much as I can, and consume all of that knowledge so people didn't have to talk to somebody else in the office, that they can talk to me and I knew where to go to get that answer. So I think right off the bat, kind of the whole "I don't like insurance" changed, because they made it into kind of a competitive game for me.
It fit your personality. So what's it like working in a family business? Is there more pressure?
It's got its pros and cons. It's definitely more pressure because they know your potential and they know what you can do and they know your personality and what you can handle. So it's great being able to work with family and people that you know and that you trust and that you can kind of let your guard down. It's still a professional atmosphere, but you can joke around more and you can say things that maybe you typically wouldn't say in a more professional setting. But it's definitely more pressure because they know what I can handle and when I'm not doing the most that I could possibly be doing, you know, if I'm having a rough day or something. And it's not just a 9-to-5 job. I mean, insurance is our family. That's what, you know, the three of us that are in this area do all the time. So when you leave the office, you could be at family dinner and we're talking about accounts, or you could be somewhere with your aunts and uncles and they're asking you about their policies. So that's one place where I benefit because I love insurance so much that I don't care that I'm talking about it after hours. I enjoy that and I thrive on that because that's my passion. So it's definitely more pressure because they think they hold you to a higher standard than the typical 9-to-5 employee, where they kind of have a list of responsibilities. And if they go above and beyond, great, but you're just kind of expected to go above and beyond as a family member.
Yeah. I would also suspect that they're not hesitant or worried necessarily about hurting your feelings. So you probably get, I would say, feedback in a way that they probably might not give feedback to, you know, like someone they hired off the street.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So that first year, how were you trained? Were you thrown into the fire? Walk us through like that first year where you're really struggling and your family's like, you're not going to like this. So you already know it's going to be really difficult. What were some of the things that you needed to do to get yourself to a level where you felt really comfortable speaking the language, trying to solve customer problems? But I guess more importantly, that was the springboard for you to be able to then pitch and sell the products itself.
Yeah, I think my first year, I've never felt entitled to anything. I've never felt that somebody owed me anything, or that, you know, it's my family's business so I can do what I want. But that first year was a lot of me growing as a person and understanding, I guess, a little bit how the real world works, because, you know, I was just fresh out of college. I had never had a professional job before. I mean, I'd had jobs, but it wasn't anything like this. And getting thrown right into that in a family setting was just a little bit tough because you don't really know, again, like I just said, with family, it's a little bit easier to be around them, but we still have other employees that aren't technically family. They feel like family, but they're not. And the first year was really me learning my place in the office. It's obviously I'm part of a perpetuation plan in the office, but I was coming into an atmosphere of people in their late 30s, early 40s that have been there for a very long time. And here's this 21-year-old coming in and it's the owner's daughter. And how are the dynamics of the office going to change? And I've never really actually looked back and thought about this first year that much. And I'm realizing now that that was just a very big growth period for me on kind of just how to handle different personalities in the office, because I was never necessarily exposed to that before. And I realized that I have a personality where I like to just get things done and do them myself. And I've learned to kind of back off from that and try to walk people through, like other employees, on how to do certain processes and educate them. Don't just take it and do it yourself, because that's, you kind of dig yourself a hole when you do that. And I learned that the last couple of years. You can't do everything. So that first year was mostly trying to learn how to talk to people on the phone and kind of learn how to navigate the atmosphere of our office and kind of where I stand in the hierarchy at that time. Because I didn't want to feel like I was taking advantage of anybody or I was taking advantage of my situation, because that definitely wasn't the case. But I do know that I had a couple instances that first year where I got put in my place and I deserved it. So it's the first year was definitely just a growth experience in general for both insurance and getting all of that knowledge, doing training courses, getting licensed, the frustration of that, because that was just a pain. I was just out of college. I didn't want to study anymore. And then, you know, growing as an individual, learning my place and learning how to handle different situations and watching what I say and kind of listening to how things come off sometimes.
Were there any experiences that you remember that first year where you like specifically remember, wow, I really goofed that up?
Yeah, there was one, and this is so goofy. I don't think a lot of people run into this, but I remember within the first like 6 months, my little brother, he's 6 years younger than me, but he's like a foot taller than me. And he's tall, thin, and blonde. He got all the good genes. But he had this big soccer game, and it was at a time where our school was doing really well with soccer. I wanted to go to it. I think I left maybe an hour early, and this was interesting because my dad said that I could go. So he said, yeah, come on, you can ride with me. So I left. And then the next day, my uncle said, come on, we have to have a talk. And from the other end of things, he's like, you realize that you can't be doing this. You know, it doesn't put off a good vibe in the agency when the other people that have been here for years that have kids and they have to miss their games, you know, are seeing you leave an hour early with your father to go watch your brother's soccer game. And at that time, for a 21-year-old who is in a family business, you don't think it's a big deal, especially when the other employees are saying, hey, it's okay, yeah, get out of here. But I didn't realize at the time, like, they have to say that because I'm, you know, at that time I was the boss's daughter. What are they going to say? No, you can't go. So that was kind of a reality check. I never looked at it from a different perspective. So it's been great having my uncle there with me because he makes me look at it from a different angle. It makes me look at it from a managerial angle or from an angle of the other employees. And that has really opened my eyes a lot and definitely helped me grow. It's something so simple like that that made me realize, like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and it keeps your dad honest, too. I'm sure he pulled him aside as well. Like, what are you doing? So let's look at the opposite side. So that first year, can you remember an incident that you went through and you were like, oh, wow, I fit. Like, this is going to work out. I actually know what I'm doing.
I don't think there was a particular instance, but I think as I started to gain more knowledge and answer more questions on the phone with people and in person, just their responses. When somebody gives you a thank you, that's huge. When you can confidently explain to somebody even something as simple as, this is what comprehensive coverage does and this is what collision coverage does, and they look at you and they say, hey, I get it, thank you. That's big. And that starts to build the foundation of, hey, I love what I'm doing. So definitely the more that I was able to communicate with people and just really educate them on coverages and educate them on, you know, claims processes or whatever questions they might have had, the more gratitude that I got back or just feeling that I knew that I had helped them definitely made me start to love what I do even more. And it just takes one person. It just takes one person to say thank you, to like put you back on the right track.
Got it. No, that's a really good message. So let's transition to the present. What's a typical day like for Ashley? I'm sure every day is a little bit different, but if you could say like an average day of what it is that you do and how it is that you do it, what's a accurate description of that?
So a typical day, if you followed me around, believe it or not, is a little bit boring right now. It's just super busy. It's a lot of desk work. I will say that every morning I'm crazy. I need to wake up every morning and drive 7 miles out of my way to go and get Dunkin' Donuts because that's the closest one. And I just need that Dunkin' Donuts and I need that car time in the morning to kind of like get ready to go, listen to some music, get pumped up. But typical day is we are, I'm sure like many agencies out there, because I feel like I hear this a lot, we're very short-staffed right now. Right now there's only 4 of us in the agency, 2 of them being the owners, and then me and another employee. So it makes things a little bit tough with the size of our book of business to handle everything. So right now I am trying to balance maintaining the book that we have while still trying to network with other agents, you know, on my off time when I'm not working at the office, as well as bringing in new business. So typical day in the office right now, I would say, is simply sitting at my desk, staying on top of everything and making sure that our current customer base is happy. Hopefully in the future, if we can get 1 or 2 more people in there, I can go out and start, you know, growing the business a little bit more because that's my passion. I love talking to people. In case you can't tell, I love talking in general. We were definitely blessed with the gift of gab in our family. And that's my favorite thing. My favorite thing is sitting down with somebody, reviewing what they currently have, and saying, here's why you should have better coverage. You know, here's the good coverage that you do have. Just reviewing things and asking them what's important to you. Like, insurance is an intangible product. So I'm literally selling something to someone that they cannot see until they need it. So you really need to be passionate about what you do, and you really need to be able to convey the importance of it in talking to somebody, or else it's not going to work.
Yeah, and I want to spend quite a bit of this in this particular episode. I think the first time I bumped into a message of yours online was probably on Twitter, and or it could have been LinkedIn, but you had said something to the effect of doing deals in heels or something, and you had such a positive, like, you celebrated that this is what you do. And I was telling Tony, like, we have to get her on the show, like, that, you know, you almost can't find someone that positive in the industry anymore. So, you know, sales, like, it's you talked about bringing in new business and how important that is to the agency, how important that is to you, and how much you enjoy doing it. You think you were a natural? You said you had a gift of gab, but do you think you were a natural salesperson? How much training did you need to do to be able to actually convince someone to sign an application to buy insurance? Or do you think that you were just a natural?
I think a lot of that does come natural. I believe that anybody can be a salesperson. But I don't necessarily want to consider myself, I don't really like the word sales, because I'm not trying to, yes, I'm selling you something, but I want you to buy it because you want to buy it. Like, I don't want to just sell it, make it sound great, and then you just take it. I want you to understand why you need it. So I'm more of maybe an educator, I would think. And it makes my job easier when people understand why they need it. Because again, like I said, it's not like it's a shiny object that's in front of you that makes it easy to hit buy on Amazon, because I do that all too easily. But it's something that I need to basically tell you a story and be animated enough about it to have somebody believe, you know what, she's right, I need that product. So I think a lot of the sales skills do come a little bit naturally. You need to be comfortable in front of people. You need to be able to think on your toes, because there's going to be people that just say, well, why do I need it? How come I want it? Or, you know, I don't have any assets. You have to be able to read people and see kind of how you have to talk to them. Do you have to be on the more professional side? Can you be a little bit sarcastic? You know, it's fun when I get the sarcastic ones, because I like to push my limits a little bit. But I think that anybody can be trained in sales, but if you're passionate about something, I don't care if you're passionate about cardboard boxes or ice. If you're passionate about them, great. You could sell that to anybody. So I do think that a lot of it does come a little bit naturally. And I mean, again, I could pretty much talk to anybody. So the talking part doesn't bother me. It was getting that knowledge base and really feeling confident in understanding the policies that definitely I spent some time training on, and that helped me in my sales area.
So how do you get new customers?
So I'm sure this is everybody's answer, and I'm sure that the people out there that use other forms are going to roll their eyes at me, but we are a very small town. Let me just give you a little bit of a background of our town. It's called a mile of hospitality. It's literally a mile long. There's three other insurance agents in town, and I'm related to two of them, and my graduating high school class, 55 people I graduated with. And from kindergarten to 12th grade, there were under 1,000 people in my school. So needless to say, we have to go a little bit outside our town to gather new business. But our biggest source of new business is still referrals. You know, we are very, very fortunate in this small town of people that are mostly over 65 that the new business has not slowed down coming in the door. We can't stay on top of all of the business that comes through the front door, which we're so fortunate of. And we really don't have to do right now a ton of marketing. And I'm a little bit dreading the day that we do have to do that. And it's going to, you know, just what it's going to cost us. But we are just so fortunate right now that a lot of our new business is referrals. And a lot of it is because we just don't have any shame in asking people for new business. You know, if I have to go out and inspect a new property, I'll be standing there. And if there's a nice house next door, I'll walk up to the house next door and knock on their door and say, hey, you guys have a great property here. I explain who I am. And I say, would you mind if I took a look at your insurance and just gave you a review? You know, no obligation, no pressure. If you want to stay where you are, that's fine. But I just don't have any shame to go and knock on doors, or if I'm at a restaurant that I think is great, to ask for the manager and ask who handles the insurance.
Prospecting 101, right? I think that's how all of the older insurers, agents, used to be the preeminent salespeople, because they had to, you know, have that confidence to be able to knock on someone's door and just, you know, ask for business or ask to like move it forward. And it's like you're already being taught that, which is phenomenal. So that gets me to like millennials. And
we'll get right back to this podcast right after a short message from our sponsor. I'm here with Chris Stanley, founder of IAPath. So Chris, what is IAPath and why did you start it?
Well, Nick, I started IAPath because a friend of mine wanted to get into the industry and couldn't find anything online about how to become an independent auto damage appraiser. And I just thought that was crazy and kind of unacceptable. So I decided I wanted to make it easier to be and become an independent appraiser and adjuster by providing people with information, inspiration, and eventually certification. From the beginning, it was important to me that I'd be a real human being that people could connect to. Yet, I dreamed it would become an organization that was big enough to make a difference. So what is IAPath? We're here to give people a clear-cut path to becoming an IA. Thus the name, IAPath.
IAPath, unlocking your adjusting superpowers. Go to IAPath.com.
So that gets me to like millennials and, you know, what's going to happen. You mentioned like that dread of at some point you're probably going to need to do more traditional types of marketing because you probably can't keep this up. So what's going to happen when, you know, you get to the point where it's your peers? Do you think that your peers will still want to buy insurance the way that you're currently selling it? Or do you think Fitzsimmons Insurance Agency is going to have to go more digital?
You know what? I feel like I live in a bubble up here. You know, I look at other people online in the groups that I'm in and all of the stuff that they're doing. And my one friend, she is totally paperless. She, you know, people don't come into her office. She does everything online. If you don't have an email, you can't work with her. And that blows my mind because I live in this little bubble up in Forest City above Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we still have people that come in and pay their farm owner's policy in all cash and stand at the counter and count it out. You know, if we have 15 people in the office in and out in a day, that's totally normal. So millennials to me and the people like my peers that I have dealt with, they still want to talk to me. They want to sit down and be like, Fitz, tell me what I've got here. Tell me why I need it. Just explain it to me so I kind of get the basics. And then they're just like, just point and I'll sign. And it's great, but they still have questions. So yeah, they like to text me. Yes, they like to be a little bit more digital, but they don't really do that until after the initial policy is in force, which really makes me feel better because it makes me feel like, hey, my friends trust me, but they also want to understand what I'm giving to them. And the beauty part of all of this is that a lot of the millennials that we get are because we've had their parents in our agency for so long. So they'll just call us and say, hey, I've been on my parents' policy. I'm moving out. I'm getting married. And they might be moving to Pittsburgh. They might be moving to Philly. But they still call us because they want to talk to a person for that initial setup, which is really a great feeling. And they can talk to me and I'm on their same page with them. I can work with them, whether I'm emailing, texting. You know, that's the benefit of having three different generations two different generations currently in our office. But there's a 15-year gap between my dad and my uncle. So my uncle's kind of in the middle. My dad doesn't want a cell phone, wants nothing to do with technology. So it's nice that we can kind of appeal to every customer. And if they want to sit down and have a 3-hour talk with somebody, my dad's there. He loves doing that. He loves sitting down explaining everything. If they want the guy that's kind of in between in his 40s, kind of on their level, my uncle's there. And then if they want the girl that just tells them everything and then will communicate with them via text, they've got me. So it's nice that we still get communication with the millennials and still get to see them face to face and kind of balance the in-person versus technology side of things.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. It reminds me of the conversation I had with Garrett White of Blue Lime Group when we were talking about books that are in jeopardy for agents. And he said, you know, if you're a local agent and people are coming to your office and they're doing the things that you were just describing, you know, paying in cash, it's like you don't have the same concerns because those people are loyal. They see you at the restaurants, they see you in the local community, and it sounds like that's the kind of book that Fitzsimmons has, where there's a high degree of interpersonal relationships. So these people, like you said, trust you, and so they may not be as quick to want to run online and get a bunch of quotes. There's an experience that's beyond just looking for the cheapest insurance, which I think is probably quite an asset to have.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you just kind of touched on a topic too that we can discuss. And it's very, very rare that I brag, but I'm super excited about this. Our retention for one of our particular companies last year was 97.9%. And it was a company that has taken 3 back-to-back rate increases. So I think that touches a lot. I'm pretty sure it was like the highest in the state or something. Somebody texted us that yesterday. I think that speaks a lot on the type of relationships that we build with our clients, because yes, there were 3 back-to-back rate increases, but we were able to retain in the entire year 97.9%. And maybe that other, you know, 2.1% we didn't actually lose. Maybe we moved it within the agency because we had to save it due to the price. But it goes hand in hand with, you need to be careful on coddling or hand-holding your customers, because you can kind of shoot yourself in the foot. You know, we are very proactive with our customers. And I actually wrote an article about this, that it's so important to have the quote-unquote talk with your clients up front. When I sit down with somebody and it's a new client and they don't know me, they don't know how our agency works, and they're just, you know, maybe they had an agent that they never spoke to in their life and they just left them, I always say, please have the talk with me if you're ever unhappy about something. Don't go out and get another quote from somebody. Or maybe if you do go out and get another quote, come to me and show it to me. I'm never going to make somebody feel guilty for leaving. I'm never going to guilt them into staying with us. But what I want to do is educate them and say, hey, we have multiple companies in our agency. That's why we can do the shopping for you. We're not just a captive agent. We've got great companies in here. And I want to make sure that they're getting the best quality for their price and understanding what they have. So I want somebody to be comfortable enough with me to say, hey, I'm not happy with my policy. Can we make some changes? Can we do something? And I don't want them to feel bad about calling me to question something, because that's my job. I'm there to educate them. I'm there to make sure that they have the best coverage. If they take a rate increase, call me. Say you're not happy. I'll look around for you. So I always encourage people, you know, have that uncomfortable talk with me. I know it feels awkward, but it's better to talk to me than to go and give some stranger all of your new information all over again. To me, that's more uncomfortable.
Yeah. And for anyone that's listening, having a retention rate in the high 90s is like super phenomenal. Having a retention rate in the high 90s when the company's doing everything it can to make it uncomfortable for you to retain and keep that business is just, you know, that's like world-class performance. So congratulations on that. I want to get into discomfort with customers. You know, it seems like you, your whole agency, your uncle and your dad, you're trying to go above and beyond, you know, the type of service. Those kinds of agencies can be taken advantage of. Like, you know, customers that are like, you know, they'll do everything for me. What do you do when you get a tough customer? Do you try to keep going above and beyond? Is there a line that you draw in the sand? Or, you know, have you had to fire customers?
I love that you asked that because I've never been asked about having to fire a customer before, and I'm super excited about this question, ironically, because I had to do it yesterday. I don't want to say for the first time ever, but it's like the first time that I felt like I actually had to fire a customer. And it was just somebody, it was somebody that I didn't know. It was an account that we had acquired from a book of business that we purchased. It was on our book for, I don't know, 2-3 years maybe. And it was one of those customers that just kept paying and never really questioned anything, but their price wasn't high. It wasn't a big account. Since December, I have been trying to contact them. I've been reaching out. I've been calling their cell phone. Then their cell phone got disconnected. I've been sending them memos. The company has been sending them memos. And they never would call us back. So finally, I went above and beyond. I mean, it's not really above and beyond, but for our agency, I went on Facebook, found them, sent them a message on Facebook, said, hey, your policy is about to lapse in coverage. Do you want to keep it in force? And, you know, normally we don't like to chase people down for money. If you're getting 9 memos in the mail and voicemails, you think you would, you know, want to pay your bill, but I guess not. And I reached on Facebook and finally they said, yep, absolutely. I'll call you in the office tomorrow. So they called me. I gave them the 4 things that they need to do to get this policy back in force and never heard from them again. Finally, on the 30th day, the last and final hour, they said, yes, let's do it. I want to get it done, but I can't get into the office till 5 p.m. And I said, well, this needs to be done by 4:30. That's when the company closes. It's your 30th day. If you don't get in by 5 or by 4:30, we can't help you. So, of course, they didn't get in by 4:30. They called me in a panic the next morning. And finally, I had to send them an email and say, listen, I'm sorry. I have gone above and beyond for you. I've given you multiple opportunities to get this policy reinstated. And I've even made an exception by contacting the company, which is not something we would normally do for an account that clearly really didn't care to get the policy reinstated. So I just said my best suggestion to you would be to find another agent. And unfortunately, I had to fire that customer because I had bent over backwards for somebody that I really didn't even know, but I had spoken to him on the phone and gotten a good vibe from him. So, you know, I guess a fault of mine is maybe sometimes not being able to take the emotion out of things.
Yeah, that is above and beyond. I mean, trying to find them on Facebook is going above and beyond. So I salute your commitment to that. But you're kind of segueing into another line of questioning, which is, you know, you recognize that you're still learning. So what are the types of things beyond just the experiences of having to go through, you know, something negative or something positive? What are the types of things that you're actively doing to continue to hone your skills?
I honestly don't know that I read a lot of books. That's a big thing. Obviously, I've read Insuring Tomorrow. One of my favorite recent books was The Power of Moments. And it really just opened my eyes to little things that you can do to make somebody think, wow, that was nice of them. Like in this digital world where everything is online and every communication is via text or email or Facebook or Twitter, the power of a note card or a thank you card is unbelievable. When I get one in the mail, I'm just so excited that I got actually like a piece of snail mail that's not something that I'm just going to throw in the trash. You know, somebody last week sent me like a thank you card or something. They had connected with me on LinkedIn and then hand wrote a thank you card and said, hey, thanks for connecting with me on LinkedIn. And I just sat back and I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. So I read a lot of books and try to figure out what I can do to make the client experience better. But I think another way that is really important to me to better your skills or at least get ideas on how to better your skills is definitely having a group that holds you accountable. And I've been fortunate enough to go to many conferences where I have just made so many great connections. And, you know, I've met a ton of people, but there's a core group of, you know, 10 or 15 people that I could just call up right now and say, hey, here's my struggle. What can I do to fix this? What do you do? You know, what's your plan of attack? And I'm just so fortunate to have such a strong tribe around me. And they definitely help me, you know, essentially train and hone in on my skills. And make me a better agent. And I think that that's why I utilize LinkedIn so much, because everybody laughs. Until 2 years ago, I thought LinkedIn was silly. And like, why do I want LinkedIn? I've got Facebook. Facebook's so much more fun. LinkedIn is boring. I don't use LinkedIn as a tool to generate business. I mean, as of right now, I don't. LinkedIn is my personal branding page where I want to help other agents. I want to make them feel like, hey, I'm not the only one going through this stuff. You know, the stuff that I put on there are just scenarios that happen to me, and it's scenarios that I'm passionate about. And I just want to put it out there so hopefully even just one person, I don't care if 1,000 people don't read it, if one person reads it and thinks, man, she's right, I'm glad that that happened to her too, I'm not the only one out here going through this. If just one person does that, it's made my day. So it's just nice to be able to connect with so many other agents that are just as passionate about sales and about insurance as I am. And that definitely helps me better my skills because I see what they're doing and I kind of mimic them.
That article that you referenced, is that on LinkedIn?
The article about the talk?
Yes.
Yes, I believe that's on LinkedIn. If it's not on LinkedIn, it's on Agency Nation.
Okay, I'm gonna dig that up and share it with the audience on the show notes. LinkedIn's so important, you know. I love where you were going with that line of reasoning. You can use it for business. I don't see that as generally productive. But it's, you know, what do you want people to see when they Google your name? And I think it's very helpful, you know, especially in a position where you're selling insurance policies and helping people with their coverages and their risk management, that when they Google your name and they go to your LinkedIn profile, they see someone as like helpful, someone that's gregarious, someone that's, you know, humble and all of that stuff. And it's like advice that we always give over at Insurance Nerds is like, that profile is the window. It's when you're exposed to people that don't know who you are, how do you want them to view you? You have a, you know, you have like one shot at that, and you can send them to your Facebook page or you can send them to LinkedIn, which is much more polished and professional. Which one would you rather it be? You know, someone drinking a beer or someone that's like helping other people and offering advice. So I love where you're going with that line of reasoning. And so for, you know, you've gone through this now and you've luckily you found at this age, you think you found your career path. What would, you know, what kind of advice would you give to another young professional that's graduating from college or not going to college, graduating from high school, looking to get into this field? What kind of advice would you give them to get them off to a good start?
I would tell them that passion is a big thing. It's going to be hard, just like any job. It's going to be hard. You're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days. But I think you know very quickly whether or not it's something that you can be passionate about. If you love helping people, if you want a job that makes you feel fulfilled because you know that you're protecting people, you know, the whole thing about not all superheroes wear capes. You know, we are superheroes. So I think a lot of it has to do with the type of personality you have. If you're a young person that wants to get out there and know that you're making a difference in people's lives, then you should definitely try insurance. You just need to be willing to get through, you know, like my dad and uncle said, that first year of not knowing everything, that first year of questioning yourself and having to ask for help. If you've got a great team behind you, then you won't have to worry about that because that team is going to help you stay positive and stay motivated. And I think that, you know, goes onto a whole different topic of company culture. But I really think that it's such a great industry for people to get into for so many reasons. But the main one is just helping people. That's so important to me and that's so motivating to me. So I would say for a young person looking to become involved, don't get frustrated. Start it and stick to it. At least give it a year and see if it's something that, you know, you end up liking, because it's going to be tough, but it'll definitely be something that you're happy with in the future.
Good advice. Good advice. So when Ashley Fitzsimmons is not working, what do you like to do?
I love doing anything outdoors. I'm big into hiking or kayaking or going to the beach. Definitely like doing little weekend trips away. Like I said, 2 weeks ago, I was in New York City. By the way, I found the absolute coolest speakeasy I've ever seen in my life. And it was in Soho, and you had to walk down 5 steps into like this little hot dog shop. And in the hot dog shop, there was a phone booth. And you go into the phone booth, dial number 1, and the wall opens, and there's a speakeasy back there.
What's the name of it?
The speakeasy is called Please Don't Tell. It was so cool. And here's me, because my mind never shuts off. I was there with another friend that's also in insurance, and I'm sitting there, and I looked at him. I'm like, this is a fire hazard. I'm like, how would they ever get insurance on this place? Because I don't know how we'd get out of here.
You must be so much fun to be around.
It doesn't, seriously, even if I'm out on dates, like eventually it comes around to insurance and I ask them if I can quote their policies. I mean.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What tools or techniques does Ashley Fitzsimmons use to stay productive?
Dunkin' Donuts. That's a big one.
Yeah, of course.
I am a big list person. Actually, I think I wrote an article about this too. I still use a planner. I like to write things down physically. I don't use my phone for anything when it comes to calendars or planning. I have a planner. I'm looking at my floor right now. I've got 2 huge whiteboards on them that have lists of things that I want to do, you know, whether it's now or a month from now. I have so many notepads at work. I'm a very organized person, but I still like to handwrite everything because it makes me feel really good when I can cross something off that list. So that definitely helps keep me stay productive and organized and motivated. But sometimes you can get lost in the list. Sometimes I spend so much time making a list that I actually am counterproductive. So I'm trying to find that balance there.
You know, I'm finding this more and more often, Ashley. We're going old school. I just bought a manual calendar, non-digital calendar, a handwriting calendar to do just that. I just don't find that the digital calendars work for my personality, and I find there's something magical by writing it down. Not that I like remember it and it gets like tattooed in my memory, but like I have this other sense now that, oh, there's something I should be doing at 2 o'clock, and then I can open up like, yep, sure enough, I wrote it down. 2 o'clock, there's something there. I'm finding more and more people are going old school when it comes to those kinds of things. I'm trying to balance it, you know, by writing it down and I enter it into my calendar. On my computer, but there's something about writing it down that's, I find very helpful. I think the same for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I don't know, therapeutic, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. My final question is books. You mentioned a couple. You mentioned, of course, Insuring Tomorrow, Insurance Nerds classic. And for those listening, we actually started the second series of that book, which is geared directly towards millennials and not companies recruiting them. You also mentioned The Power of Moments. Any other books that you can recall that you found influential in your business and or personal lives?
There is. So You Are a Badass. That's a really good book. That one really spoke to me simply because, you know, everybody goes through struggles. Everybody goes through a point where you're like, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right track? And that book definitely made me feel better about the situation. You know, sometimes when I was reading that book, it made me feel like she was talking directly to me. And I'm like, you know what? She's right. I do need to, you know, go out and be a better person or do this differently and not be afraid to do things. And I think that book really helped me kind of get out of my comfort zone a little bit when it comes to networking, and not that I really had an uncomfortable zone when it came to networking. I could pretty much talk to anybody, but sometimes, you know, a couple of years ago when I'd walk into a room, I didn't necessarily feel like I should be there. You know, I would walk in and wonder, you know, why are these people talking to me? Why do they think that I have all the answers? You know, when it would be people that were, you know, high up at a company level or high up in their agency or agency owners. And then I realized that, you know, they value my opinion from the different perspective than theirs just as much as they would value somebody on their level's opinion. So that book really helped me kind of understand that everybody has an opinion and you shouldn't be afraid to express it. And I think that's why I became so vocal on LinkedIn in hopes that I could, like I said, help other people. So that was a really good book and I would suggest everybody reads it. It's kind of a little bit of fluff, but it kind of motivates you and makes you feel happy and want to get back out there. So that was a really good one too. And Eat That Frog. It's a quick read. You could probably read it in an hour, but that's a really good one too. You know, it's basically just saying, get in there and do what you have to do. Stop putting stuff on the back burner. Take the thing that's on the back burner and just get it over with, because you don't realize in the back of your mind, knowing that you still have to do it and continuing to put it off is weighing on you. And that's a big thing for me, because there's tons of stuff in insurance I'm sure that people can just put on the side of their desk and be like, yeah, I'll handle that client later. Just get it over with and you'll feel so much better.
You're the second person in a week that has recommended Eat That Frog, and Tony was shocked when I told him I had never heard of that before. So that's fantastic. That's why we do this. Is you know, I had someone come on the show and they were just like, the book recommendations are like their favorite part of the show, because a lot of our audience loves books and they don't have time to read it. So they get to the, you know, go to the show notes or just listen to the podcast and they get like quick recommendations that then they can go on Amazon and buy those books. So Eat That Frog, I'm going to have to read it just because Ashley and Tony and everyone else seems to be recommending it. So that's why I love doing this. Ashley, this has been phenomenal. I learned a lot from you, and I just, again, hats off, I think, because you carry such a positive vibe. Listen, I'm not going to blow smoke. It's kind of inspirational though. You know, it's that group mentality that you talked about. It's, you go online and there, you know, people are just like, I'm going to plow through it. It's a tough day, but I'm going to, you know, make deals with heels or whatever it is. It's like, it's positive in that, well, if they're having a tough day and they can have such a positive, energy, then how difficult is it for me as well to go ahead and to have positive energy? So thank you. Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for being such a positive light in an industry that could be very, very dark.
No, thank you. And I appreciate you having me on the show and you know, letting me vocalize why I love what I do.
Awesome. My guest this week has been Ashley Fitzsimmons, the Beyonce of insurance. I love that so much. Thanks again, Ashley.
Thank you.